Hello, this is Chris Coney.
And I'm Gary Leland, and you're listening to episode 96 of the Crypto Cousins Podcast.
Feed your interest in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies by joining Hall of Fame podcaster Gary Leland on the Crypto Cousins Podcast. And remember, we are all cousins in the world of crypto. This week's price of Bitcoin.
$8,690. That's up $677 or 8.4% over the last 7 days. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gary. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's been last time you were on the show was episode 32, and we're on 96 now. So it's been a while, almost a year, I guess.
Almost a year. Wow. Seems like a lot's happened between now and then, to be honest. So it seems like longer than a year to me.
Well, that's because it's crypto years. You know, they're like dog years or seven. Crypto years, I think, at 10.
Probably. Yeah, that's about right.
Because this is a fast-paced world. Before we get going, why don't you give everybody a short bio for those who might not have heard you on 32 or those who may not listen to your podcast, which is a great podcast.
No, thank you. Yeah. So short bio. I got into crypto 2013. It was in the same year that I quit the web design and internet marketing business because I was kind of miserable doing that. And it's funny, you know, when you one door closes and another one opens type of thing. So it was in the, I think it was the February of 2013 that I actually, my company actually closed permanently. Actually, I sold it to my co-director. And then in the, it was like 6 months after that, when I was looking around at different technologies, different business ideas, I came across Bitcoin, started studying that and thought, oh, this is interesting. It seems to be the solution to the one of the problems I've been studying during my business career, which was the problem with the 2008 financial crisis and the economic system that we have and how the system doesn't really work for everybody, central planning, all that kind of stuff. It was just odd that there was a Bitcoin-shaped hole in the world. And it was the perfect solution to a problem I understood, but couldn't even conceive of the solution. So when Bitcoin came along, I was like, oh, I wasn't looking for Bitcoin because such a thing wasn't even conceivable before then. So I was like, wow, this is really, really interesting. So I studied it, and then thought, okay, this is cool. This is going to go somewhere. What we really need, though, is it took me forever to get my head around it. So I thought we need some better educational materials. So perhaps that's a way I can contribute to the space. And that's where I started becoming an educator in the whole crypto space.
So what year was this?
2013.
Oh, wow. So relatively early.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I didn't launch my YouTube channel till like, I think it was May of 2016, because it took me a while to figure out what I was going to do and tested a few things and whatnot. So I started publishing content in about, May 2016.
So had you done any training on anything else before?
Any training?
Yeah, were you a teacher or a trainer of anything else before you started training people in this? Or was this your first try at training people?
I got you. Well, I'll tell you where I...
Because that's a skill. I mean...
It is a skill. Yeah, and I'll tell you where I developed that. It was by accident, really. When I was doing my web design and internet marketing stuff, one of the things we used to sell was a service, you know, to optimize your website for higher Google rankings. And the difficulty with selling that kind of thing is you're selling the invisible. So clients are paying this money every month, and there's kind of a lag in between them starting it and it taking effect. And, you know, there's a lot of scammers in the industry. So clients kind of get nervous about, am I just shelling out money and they're not doing anything? So I'm like, how do I reassure the clients that, you know, we're actually doing something that they can't actually tangibly feel? So what I came up with was just basically doing, instead of sending these long reports that they never read anyway because they're far too technical, and instead of me going once a month to sit down with the client and very time consuming, I thought what I'll do is I'll basically create some charts, basic stats and what we've done over the last 30 days, and I'll just screen record it and do a voiceover, a 5-minute video, and send them that once a month. So then the clients would get the email, open it up, watch the 5-minute YouTube video, and then that's it. That would be like their little consultation update for the month. And the clients really liked this because they were busy and they wanted the reassurance that we were, you know, spending their money wisely and that we were in fact doing something. So that kind of got me into the whole idea of structuring information in a concise way, recording it with a screen with a voiceover. So that was already there. And then when I started doing the content creation thing, I was like, YouTube, and I can just do the same thing that I was doing, but report the news and comment on it in the same way that I was doing for my clients way back in the day.
Right. So that's so you basically were just following the same steps you'd already done, but then you expanded.
Yeah, it was just different content, I suppose. It was the same method of showing your screen and talking over it, but it was reporting the crypto news rather than explaining to clients what we've been doing with their marketing over the last 30 days.
Right, right. So you really, to me, when I listen to your podcast, I don't watch your YouTube. I do occasionally. It's kind of funny to me, Chris, how your YouTube decides what I'm going to see and have a choice of watching. You know, I'm subscribed to your YouTube channel and to your podcast, which for those listening is the Cryptoverse is the name of it. And your podcast seemed to come okay on my Apple is what I subscribe with. But on my TV, I watch on a smart TV. I put that in quotations because I don't know how smart it is. I guess it's smarter than a dumb TV.
Yeah.
But I subscribe to your show on there. And then I go to my recommended shows and it's not ever in there. And I'm really kind of confused. You think the newest episode of your recommended show would be in your feed.
Well, it's this funny thing, isn't it, with social networks. When they first launch, you follow all these people. And what you assume is going to happen is that all of the content published by the people you're following is going to be chronologically ordered in your feed. And that's usually how they start out. And then when they get bigger, they all seem to do this weird thing where they start curating your feed for you. But isn't that the purpose of me following certain people? I'm curating my own content. There's all of the,
exactly,
you know, the crypto Twitter available, and I curate it based on who I follow. So I stop messing with it. I've already created it.
It's like, okay, I subscribe to quite a few YouTube videos. Yours is one of them. I rarely see you in my feed. I always have to go, oh, let me go and look through my people I subscribe to and see if they have a new show. But I'll get like this Sunny guy all the time. And I'd hate his shows.
Sunny Decree.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking him. Someone may love him. I mean, it's not my cup of tea. But every one of his shows in my feed. Now, why are his shows in my feed? And the one I subscribe to is hardly ever in my feed. And it's not just yours. It's several of them that I subscribe to. They're not in my feed ever.
That must be because YouTube have a great difficulty with categorizing content on a qualitative basis. Now, that's not, I'm not saying that Sunny Decree does poor quality content, but what I mean is it can't discern one, because for me, if I do more, what does someone describe me as in the YouTube comments? Erudite. It's like scholarly, philosophical insights into crypto Twitter and all this sort of stuff. Not crypto Twitter, the crypto space. But how on earth is the YouTube algorithm supposed to figure out that Sunny Decree does a lot of price action and technical analysis videos, and that I do philosophical insights? Like, it can't tell that, right? That's a really, really high intelligence you would need to discern that. So it just has to go on basic metrics like views and click rates and all that kind of stuff. So the more pricey, hypey stuff will tend to be seen by YouTube as more popular. And then, of course, that's based on their revenues. So they're going to reward that more.
Yes, that must be it. But you think they would, if you subscribe to five shows and they show you this feed of all these shows they recommend, they could throw those five newest ones in. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why you subscribe to them. You say, please let me know when this person publishes new content.
Exactly. I'm saying I'm interested. I want to see Chris's stuff when it comes out. And then I got to go leave that screen, go to another screen, open it up. I mean, it's like the internet. They say people come to your website, you get about three clicks. You know, they're already making me click more than three times just to get to you. And it's on a TV, so it's not even a mouse I'm using. You know what I mean? So it's really not quite as convenient.
Why don't they just give us the option? Like, do you want the YouTube AI to curate your feed for you? Or do you just want it plain vanilla, dump it all in there?
Or do you want us to do a combo? Give you some other crap and then give you the stuff you asked for to boot, you know, and give you some recommendations.
Well, maybe that's where podcasting wins, because if it's just a pure feed of chronological ordering of the shows you're following, then that people gravitate that way.
It's funny. I was listening, though, to a podcast this morning. A friend of mine named Evo Terra does a show about 5 minutes, like my 4 minute crypto show. And it's about what's happening in the podcast industry. And his show this morning was, it's time for iTunes and everybody to start curating our feeds for us, because every time things get big enough, they start curating your feed. So that is probably time it's going to start happening on podcasts.
What a nightmare.
That would be. But let's get to what the show is about today, is trading And I have a lot of personal questions about this that we're going to go through while we're doing this, because I do very little trading. I'll buy and sell occasionally, you know, if I say, you know, for some reason that I think something's going to do good. Like I bought Binance at like $7 a couple months ago. Yeah. And I'm really happy with that purchase, obviously, right now. But I'm not
all-time highs right now.
Yeah. But I'm not a big-time trader. But you know, on that all-time high, I watched something last night. It's an all-time high against the dollar, and it's an all-time high, I assume, against the pound, because I don't look at the pound value. You're in the UK, for those listening. Chris is in the UK. But the same person did against BTC, and it's not an all-time high against BTC. So,
okay.
So actually, there's a crossover point where if you'd have put your money back in BTC, you'd have made more money. But I'm still tickle pink, you know.
I mean, yeah, sure.
And I think it's good to be diversified anyway, instead of having everything. But let's get back to the question I was trying to get at before I start talking about my personal trade of the last 3 months. That's how seldom I trade. Give me a couple of number one tips that someone new to trading really needs to know before they get in there and like I do and just occasionally make a pick. What do they really need to know? What are some good tips for a trader?
Okay, first thing to know, if you're going to trade, it doesn't matter what the asset is. You're trading the chart, not the asset. That's tip number one.
Okay. And can you explain that more?
Sure. So trading is largely, I'd say 80-20, down to technical analysis. So I say 80-20 because you still need to know what's going on outside the charts in case there's some kind of big news event that comes in. But all things being equal, the price has already taken into account all of the current news, beliefs about the future and what's going to happen. And everyone's basically, that's what price does in an economic system. It's the one piece of information that tells everybody, it coordinates all the information in a space into a single number, because everyone's betting with their money based on whether you think an ETF is going to get approved or this or that or the other. So the chart usually tells you everything except, you know, what hasn't come out yet. So when you do technical analysis, it's a map of psychology, right? Because it's all about perception. Where do I think Bitcoin's going to go? Do I think the current price is fair value, overvalued or undervalued? And every single trader is asking themselves the same question. And then everyone votes with their money. And that's why the price moves. So I just mentioned Bitcoin, but that same dynamic's happening for every asset. So technical analysis is the process of reading a chart, understanding what that chart is telling you based on the sentiment of all the people involved, and then what's likely to happen next. And that set of principles, you know, how people perceive the asset and whether it's overvalued or undervalued, that applies no matter what. And since all charts are drawn in the same way, it's just a log of past prices. So when you learn technical analysis, it applies across the board. It applies to if you're going to trade stocks or bonds or cryptos, it doesn't matter. And fortunately, I'd had many years experience understanding Forex trading, and it maps directly over to cryptos. You need to understand how cryptos work differently and how they're a different asset class, but all the skills almost transfer over directly. So that's why I say tip number one is you're trading the chart, really. You're not really trading the asset.
So if I went and took a course on trading stock that mm-hmm. was local and I could go to, I would learn the skills I would use for trading Bitcoin or cryptos. I mean, it'd be the same thing for reading the charts.
Yeah, exactly. You could, to begin with, you could just start off learning how to read charts and do technical analysis without any thought as to what kind of assets you were going to trade. That would be perfect, because that's almost like the foundational learning. Is how on earth do you read a candlestick chart? What is it telling you? And how do you analyze the price patterns and then reasonably predict based on probabilities whether it's going to go this way or that way? Now, once you've got that foundation, you can take that and apply it to commodities. You could trade oil, and then you could change your mind and go and trade gold, and you could change your mind and go and trade Bitcoin, and change your mind and go and trade stocks. It doesn't matter.
So you can move from market to market. It doesn't matter if you have the basic right. tools or knowledge.
Yes. Now, you might choose to specialize in certain assets, but that says nothing about the basic skill set. Learning to read charts and understand price patterns, that is the universal skill that applies across the board.
When you look at a candlestick chart, do you switch it from like a day to an hour to 5 minutes? Or do you always look at it like 15 minutes or, you know, as far as your settings go? What chart do you look at when you're just like looking through charts?
Okay. The chart I've got up right now is, I've actually got three. So on my center screen, the screen is in three columns, like left, middle, and right. And it's all showing Bitcoin against the US dollar. And on the far left, it's showing Bitcoin against the US dollar, and every candle is a 1 day candle. In the center is the same chart, but every candle is 6 hours each. And on the right, it's a candlestick pattern. Each candle is 1 hour, right? So what this allows me to do is see it from three different vantage points at the same time. It's almost like being on the sixth floor, the 60th floor, and the roof, and being able to see the city from each of those floors simultaneously, if you had CCTV cameras on each one, right?
Right.
That is basically what I'm doing. So rather than clicking around.
So you're getting a big view and a close-up view and a moderate view.
And I've got context. So I look at the far right chart and I see the hourly chart moving around. But then I go, okay, only so much of it fits there. It might be only the last 2 days fits in that chart. So then I look to the center and that goes back maybe 2 weeks. And then I look to the third chart, which is the daily chart, and I can see like 2 months worth of data without touching anything. So I got this from a guy called Dr. Alexander Elder. And he wrote this book many years ago on stock trading. It's called Come Into My Trading Room. And this is from the 90s, this book. And he was like, how to be a stock trader from home. And he came up with this triple screen setup. And I think it's just brilliant.
Do you just open three windows and change the settings? Or is that a particular site or a tool that you're using that does that?
Yeah, this tool is tradingview.com, which is pretty much the standard in the industry now for charting anything. It's so good.
Is that a pay per use thing or a free thing?
I think they have a free trial of 30 days, but then you do have to pay for it, but it's well worth it.
I assume you have an affiliate program for that?
They have an affiliate program, yeah.
What's your affiliate program for that? Let's give that to someone because I don't sell it, so you might as well.
Okay, well, if you go to the website, thecryptoverse.show, in the sponsors section, you'll find a banner for it there.
I wanted to ask you, that reminds me of a question, kind of getting off the topic here, and I think about you every time, well, I think about you, of course, every time I listen to your show, but every time you give out a link, I think about this. Why don't you use short links, Chris? Like, I'm driving in my car, and you say, hey, if you're interested in this, go to the site and click down and look at the banner. Why don't you just say, go to thecryptoverse.com/tradingview, and then I can remember that when I get home.
It's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I could do that.
Because then I would go, well, hell, anything he talks about, I know is going to be thecryptoverse.com/tradingview or /cash or /Coinbase or /whatever. I've been meaning to tell you that forever. So I'm not meaning to call you out. I'm trying to help you out.
Listeners
who aren't on your watching your videos. Okay, so that sounds like a great tool. So where do you do your trading at? Where's the best place to do your trading?
Okay. I do most of my trades on the Binance exchange.
Okay.
And it's funny how Binance has shot to the number one, you know, most used crypto exchange in just 2 years. And it's just a funny combination. It must just be that they've got easy user interface and they've got the coins that everyone wants to trade. I think that's basically how they've managed to do it. I just hats off to him.
Yeah, he's come out of nowhere and doing a great job. You know, I was talking to someone the other day when Binance was going down a little bit, and they said, are you going to sell? And I said, no, I'm not. I think that CZ seems to be a marketing king, and this will go back up just because he's a marketing king, whether it has any value or not. You know, I mean, I know that sounds terrible to say, but I could probably make some money riding his coattails.
Right.
Now, here's another question. Okay, let's say I'm going to use, just for conversation, let's say we have one Bitcoin, on Binance, and we're using that, and we, with that one Bitcoin, I transfer it to Binance, and I trade it for BNB. Okay, and now my BNB has gone up. Do you have an amount when you bought that BNB? Do you say, I'm going to buy this BNB, and I'm looking for it to go up 30%. When it hits 30%, I'm selling? Or is that a day-by-day, hour-by-hour decision on your amount as to when you sell it? Because you're looking at these charts.
Yes. So you make all those decisions before you enter the trade, is the answer to that.
So before you enter the trade, you know if it hits this amount, you're wanting to sell.
Yeah. You make the entire trade plan. You plan the trade and trade the plan. So you make all the decisions before you even put any money in. because you need to know it's a good trade to begin with. So we'll get into that in just a second. So you say, where do you sell? Well, the chart will tell you, right? If you analyze the chart, what's the highest price it's likely to go to? I keep using the word likely because trading is all about probabilities. We'll get into that in a minute. Some people think there's a way of studying technical analysis to a point where you can have absolute certainty and guarantee every trade will win. That's a limited, that's a flawed belief right there. So you need to bin that one. But the chart will tell you, like if I'm looking at Bitcoin right now, I've got two horizontal lines drawn on my charts, which, and I said this on the show the other day, and it seems to have panned out very, very well. I said, for the time being, Bitcoin's going to bounce in between $8,200 and $7,600. So those are the ranges that it's going to be sat in that range for a while, as far as I can tell, until it decides to come out. Now, even over the last few hours, it came down to 7,600 and has now turned around and is heading back up to 8,200. And the last time it was 8,200, it turned around and went back down to 7,600. So when you see patterns like that, the chart's telling you the chances of it turning around the next time it gets to 8,200 is quite high. So I would sell, or sell a part of my position at the very least, at like $8,195, right? Because the chances are that's where it's going to stop and turn and start going down again.
Right. I got you on that. So do you also have your plan made? Well, I assume you do, that if you put that one BTC in there and Binance and it starts going down, how far down you're going to let it go in case you were wrong and go, gosh, some whale came in here and dumped a bunch. Now it's going down. Do you have a go, I'm going to, while you say 82 is the high, do you have a low that you're going to sell out and say, I'm just taking my loss and getting out of there if it hits this?
Yes, that's right. So when it needs to be a good trade, I said a minute ago. So when you're analyzing the trade and calculating it, what you want is, I call it asymmetric risk reward. So that's like the upside, the potential gain needs to be so much bigger than the potential loss. So you can decide this when you write your trading plan. You should write a trading plan as to what are the rules of your trading business, because you have to treat it like a business. So one of your rules might be, I only take trades that present a reward to risk ratio of 3-1 or higher. So that would mean if there's the potential for, you know, if from where the price is now, if the potential is the Bitcoin could rise 5% or let's say 6% for ease, then if it goes down 2% from the entry point, then that's where I would take the loss. You know what I mean? Because it's one unit of risk for every three units of reward.
Right. So your odds or at least ways are with you.
Exactly. And that allows you to like lose half of the time and still make money. Because you're winning 2/3 of the time. If you're like, then the money, because you profits, you don't keep all your profits. Some of your profits are going to pay for your losses.
Right.
And it is like a business because you have sales coming in and you have expenses. And in trading, one of your expenses is losing trades. They're going to happen. So you don't withdraw all the profit. You need to keep some of that in your trading account to pay for your losing trades, which are inevitable.
So speaking of costs, you know, you're losing trades, you say are costs. When you are transferring, like I took that one BCC, put in, and I bought BNB, and now BNB's done what I wanted to, so I'm going to get out of it. Well, it seems like I don't want to put it back in BTC because I'm going to pay higher fees and eat up more of my profit. Am I correct?
The trading fee will be the same. So Binance would charge you the same trading fee for converting your BNB to Bitcoin. So what do you mean by a higher cost?
Well, I just figured the miners charge more. I always hear people bitching about when you're getting Bitcoin that the fees are high.
Well, if you deposit your one BTC on Binance and then trade it to the Binance coin and back to Bitcoin, none of that happens on the network. So there are no Bitcoin transaction fees.
Oh, because it's not on the network.
No, there's only the trading fee that Binance charges.
See, I don't do a lot of trading. See, I don't know this. That's why I'm trying to find. So it doesn't matter if I move it as far as cost goes. It doesn't matter to me whether I move it into BTC or US coin or whatever. I mean,
no.
It's the same to me no matter what.
Well, in terms of fees, it's the same. But this is another thing when people write a trading plan, it's like, okay, what's your goal? Is your goal to accumulate US dollars? Or is your goal to accumulate Bitcoin? So if you start out with one Bitcoin and you say, I know there's only going to be 21 million Bitcoin, and I want to make sure that I've got as many of those as possible because it's a limited pie. So a lot of traders, they start with like one Bitcoin and their goal is to multiply that to 1.5, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So they don't really care about what Bitcoin's price is doing in US dollar terms.
Right.
Because they're trading all these altcoins against Bitcoin.
Their goal is to get as many Bitcoins as they can.
Right. So they're measuring their profit and losses in BTC, not US dollars. But that's a personal choice.
Right. But see, that's something I had not looked at, which I, like most people who believe in Bitcoin, am also trying to acquire as many Bitcoin as possible. But I think, and because I don't do a lot of trading probably, I keep relating it to US dollars, which if you're trading and your goal is to get more BTC, you got to get that US dollar out of your mind because it doesn't matter what it is.
Right. It depends. It's a personal choice, right?
Yeah.
That's trading is wide open. Like starting any business, you can do it however you want.
Good point. Are there some tools you'd recommend for trading? You recommended one.
Yeah.
The three screen thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tradingview.com, that would allow you to draw charts for anything, like any asset you can think of, from all the commodities to the stocks, the foreign exchange market, and cryptos. So that's got to be your number one tool. That's like the screwdriver in the toolkit. So everyone's got to get that. So that's number one. Other tools. Well, you need an exchange, obviously, but I wouldn't really call that a tool. What other tools do I use? Google Spreadsheets. I use that to log trades. So I keep throwing out elements of this trading plan. So a trading journal, which is something I learned from my Forex days, a trading journal is basically a record that you keep of all the trades you've taken and their outcomes, right? So benefit of TradingView is it allows you to like take snapshots of your charts, and this helps you be accountable. So you enter like, I'm going to trade Bitcoin for BNB coin, and this is the price I'm going to buy it at, and this is my target price, and this is my, you know, stop loss price. I'm going to get out when it goes down this much. So those are my criteria. And then you can click the camera icon in TradingView, and it gives you a link to what the screen looks like right now. So it takes an image, and which they then host it for you on the web. So you just get the link and plop it in your Google spreadsheet. So just to see what the chart looked like before you went in. Because oftentimes when, you know, hindsight is 20/20. So when a trade is finished and it's either profited or lost, then I would take another screenshot and put the outcome in my trading journal as well. Because if it goes well or doesn't go well, I want to look back at what the chart looked like when I went in to see if what I thought was going to happen did happen, or whether I missed something, or, you know.
So you're kind of also able to educate yourself from your past experience.
Exactly. It's an iterative thing, you know, like that. Yeah. So having a trading journal, that takes a bit of discipline because record keeping is a pain in the bum.
For me, it is for sure.
it totally is, right? It totally is a pain. But that discipline will serve you well.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would have a hard time probably doing it. I'd start off real good, but after a while, I know me, I would I'd start getting weak on it. Before you know it, I wouldn't be doing it at all. Hey, before we go any further, I do want to tell everybody about, make sure everybody knows about my conference this fall in Dallas, BitBlock Boom. This is a Bitcoin conference, and it's a, by Bitcoin conference, I mean, for those listening, that's all we're talking about is Bitcoin. I go to a lot of conferences where they call themselves Bitcoin conferences, and they talk about more altcoins than Bitcoin. So I decided to have a Bitcoin conference. It's scheduled for August the 17th and August the 18th. If you want to check it out and find out more about the lineup or how much it costs or anything about it, go to bitblockboom.com. And if you use the discount code COUSINS, the COUSINS, at checkout, you'll get 30% off the price of your ticket. This is our second year. Last year was a great event. So make sure you go to bitblockboom.com and check it out. And don't forget that code COUSINS. Yeah, we have one of your fellow countrymen there speaking at BitBlock Boom, Chris Peter from the What Bitcoin Did podcast.
Oh, yes. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So we've got a good lineup. Let me ask you a couple of questions, though, about your involvement in trading, your personal involvement. Now, you do training, we talked about earlier. So would people, just to find out about your training, what services first do you provide, I guess? Maybe that's the question.
Yeah, right now I've got two online courses that sort of teach people how to trade cryptocurrencies. One's called Crypto Exchange Mastery. That's both for people wanting to trade and invest, because it tells you how to use exchanges and things like that. And then there's one called the Master Crypto Trader, which is much more in depth in terms of chart analysis and that kind of stuff.
So do you have, since you do so much charting and stuff for yourself, do you have a group where you make recommendations to people? Because I see a lot of people that do that too.
Yeah, I don't offer like a tipping service or anything, but I do have a private chat group for members where if I spot something, I'll post it in there. But it's not like a part of the service that is promised, but that does happen.
Okay, so it's not necessarily I'm subscribing to say, and you're saying to your followers, okay, everybody, today I'm recommending we all get Litecoin.
Right.
You know, and everybody goes, oh, here's this tip for the day. So it's not kind of that. You're actually teaching people to do this for themselves.
Right. Yeah. And it is good if I spot something that relates to what I teach in the course, like, hey, oh, here's a good example of so-and-so. This is the profit target, blah, blah, blah. Or if I take a trade, I might post that, okay, I've just bought whatever it is at this price. This is the profit target. This is the rationale.
You do that in your chat group.
Yeah.
Where's your chat group at? What do you use for your chat group?
It's a Discord chat server.
I just see you in Telegram a lot, so I didn't know if it maybe was in Telegram.
I used to use that, but it's less flexible. So some of my older members are in there, but all the newer members are now on the Discord server.
Discord is one of the only ones I don't use so far. I guess I got to get in there and figure that out.
It's better because if you want to integrate it with other systems, that's why I started using it.
Oh.
It talks to other apps a lot better.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So now I know you, maybe a month ago, interviewed Richard Hart about HEX. And you started providing, or you mentioned that you were providing a service for people that wanted you to set up so they got their free HEX. Are you still doing that?
That was an idea that I put to him about how to encourage people to click on my affiliate link to claim their HEX. And one of the ideas I put to him was like offering people, look over your shoulder, I'll help you set it up kind of thing if you claim it through my referral link. But that was just a passing idea that I came up with. I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Okay, because I was going to help me do that if you were.
Sure. We can talk about that offline.
No problem at all. So how's your Patreon page coming along? And what do people get on your Patreon page? How does that work?
Sure. Setting up a Patreon page was my response to the bear market because it kind of hurt because I was so exposed to crypto, like investments, my income, my business, everything was exposed to it. So when the market went down, Google searches went down, YouTube views went down, everything went down. And I was like, oh my goodness me.
Yeah.
That was a lesson for me in being too exposed to crypto. It's all very well being an enthusiast and passionate and blah, blah, blah. But I think it was unwise to be that exposed to something that was so new. So that's when the passion gets the best of you type of thing.
Well, when Bitcoin goes down, everything with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm talking even the guy who sells t-shirts on the corner. Everything is down.
Exactly. So I set up my Patreon page thinking like, well, a lot of people block ads and so on. And I'm thinking crypto is all about incentives. How on earth, why would people support a content creator? And I never really understood that because like you're already kind of getting the content for free, even if the ads are paying for it. Yeah, but then people block ads. And I'm like, okay, it's hard for people to stomach to pay for something that they can get for free. It doesn't make rational sense. So I was like, okay, what can I offer on top of that? It needs to be almost like a mini membership service that gives value in and, you know, up and above the content. So I came up with some basic stuff like Patreons get access to a version of the episode without ads. And I don't list the sources on the public free versions. It's kind of annoying, but I got to create some of course kind of incentive. So when I put out an episode, all the sources, I give those to patrons, but not put them in YouTube notes, which is kind of inconvenient, but you know, I have to create some incentive. And then there's access to the private chat group is another benefit. And on the higher levels, I issue supporters with crypto rewards every time I put out an episode. So that's another incentive for people to support me as well.
So how does that work? What kind of crypto rewards do they get?
That's based on Steam.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I've got a reasonably big Steam account. So when I post something, I post it on Steam. And then if you comment on it, that gives me the opportunity to upvote your comment. And that tips you some Steam. Because in Steam, the way that instead of mining, the new currency that's created is issued based on upvotes. So if you post a comment, that is like a little tiny piece of content. And if I upvote it, it tells the system, okay, today part of today's rewards pool should be paid to Gary. And then right now that's like, that'd be like 40 cents or something like that.
Well, if you're reading the content and you like it, why wouldn't you want to make 40 cents while you're there, right?
And if you're following me and supporting me anyway, because that's exclusive for supporters. So the money that's coming in from Patreon.
So what is it? What does it cost to be a Patreon and get all that for someone?
The crypto rewards come in at the $10 a month or higher level.
So if you upvoted 25 things, you'd probably break even, right?
Yeah, probably just about, yeah. Right. And you're getting other benefits like the chat group and the research sources and no ads. So it's a little package.
Is there anything else that you offer people that I may not be covering that you want to make sure they know about?
No, it's all pretty much on the Patreon page there. There are some higher levels where you can like sponsor someone on a scholarship for my online courses, which a couple of people have done that. So they're actually paying for, you know, themselves to get access to the courses and somebody else. So that's just something else I came up with.
So what are your thoughts on 2019 and 2020? What do you just think? I mean, not holding you to it. If it doesn't come true, I'm not going to call you up. But
yeah, totally. Well, I think 2019 has already been kind of a surprise to a lot of us. When I put out a video, it was called something like Bitcoin quietly creeps out of the bear market or something like that. And everyone had this great big downtrending line from the, you know, when the lows, the low prices from 2018 were getting lower, and you can draw almost like a perfect line down from that. And Bitcoin had been under that line for most of 2018, and it gradually creeped back up to it, and it went sideways, because usually when you price breaks out of a line, it does so in an upward direction. But because the line is descending and Bitcoin was going sideways, it crossed it sideways rather than going up. So that's why people didn't notice it happening. And if you didn't have it drawn on your chart, you wouldn't see it anyway. And I said, that's probably how it's going to be. You know, Bitcoin's going to quietly creep out of the bear market. And then when it starts to boom, it's almost going to seem like it came out of nowhere because people weren't paying attention to what the markets were telling them in terms of the charts. Now, having said that, I didn't expect Bitcoin to go from whatever it was, 5,000 to 8,500 nearly in less than a month. I mean, anyone who could have predicted that could have made an absolute fortune, but that was a big surprise to me. So what do I think the rest of the year holds? That is a very tough question. That's not so much of a trading question, because in trading, you don't make those kinds of predictions. You just look at what the market's telling you, place your trades, and then manage it based on what happens next. But for longer term investors, I think Bitcoin's still going to remain the king just because of its network effect. And then you've got the battle of the application platforms, your Ethereums, your EOS platforms, Tron, those kinds of things. I'm not as certain which one of those is going to be the leader. I'm a fan of EOS, but it's still not clear cut that it's not absolutely leaving the others in the dust yet as far as adoption goes. They're all, it's all everything to play for in that regard, so I'm keeping an eye on that.
Very good. Hey, what's your favorite book?
The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Okay. And your favorite quote?
Favorite quote? That's a tough one. There's so many good quotes.
There are a lot. I hear a lot of good ones.
Yeah. Mike Maloney has this quote that goes, "The greatest investment you'll ever make is in your own education." So I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good quote. What is your favorite crypto resource?
Andreas Antonopoulos, without a doubt.
And do you listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I do.
What's your favorite podcast?
Favorite podcast? Let's Talk Bitcoin.
Okay.
Is it Andrew B. Levine is the founder of that. And now he has co-hosts like Stephanie Murphy, and Andreas is on there most episodes as well. So that is a great little, I think there's 4 of them. And they've all got different points of view. So Andreas is like the technical reference. And then, you know, they all bring their own little perspective to the table. It's a good show, that one.
So what advice would you give like a crypto newbie?
What advice would I give to a crypto newbie?
Yeah, someone who's just getting into crypto. You know, they see it going up, their friends have been talking about it, or they've been listening to shows, and they say, you know, I need to like start working and figuring this out.
Okay, the very first thing to do, the thing I would prescribe, is the FOMO cure, the best FOMO cure. You need to get over that first, otherwise you just won't be able to study the space properly. You need to study the space from a calm place. So goal number one is to address your FOMO. And the way to do that is to start the cost averaging strategy, which is like just go set up a Coinbase account, decide on a small amount of money like $10 a week, whatever it happens to be, get your bank to automatically send a bank transfer to your Coinbase account every week for like $10. And then a few days after that, so say if you did that on the Monday every week, have your bank do that, and then go to your Coinbase account and say every Thursday, just to make sure the payment is cleared, every Thursday, buy me $10 worth of Bitcoin, and then leave it, right?
Right.
At least then you're in the game, number one. You know you're involved, so that should address your FOMO. You've also got one of the best automated strategies of all, because then it doesn't matter if it's going up or down, you'll get Bitcoin at a good average price. So assuming the space grows long term, you're not having to pick the tops and the bottoms and all that kind of thing, and it's completely automated. It's just a case of create a Coinbase account, verify your identity, set up the bank transfer every week, set up the automated recurring buy on Coinbase, and that's it. Every week you'll get an email saying, we've received your $10, and then you'll get another email saying, the $10 order has been processed.
That's a good tip. You know, I read or saw an article the other day that stated that if you'd started doing that when Bitcoin was 20,000 or 19 or whatever it hit, mm-hmm. that and if you kept doing that every week until now, you would be up right now, even though you started at almost $20,000.
Right, because that first $10 when Bitcoin was at 20,000 only bought you a tiny fraction of it. But as it went down, every week you were buying a larger and larger portion of a Bitcoin. So you don't even need to study anything in order to do that. It's very safe as long as you keep the amount you are investing down to just a ridiculously low amount that you right. just you don't really care if you're losing, right? Just give up one bottle of beer a week or something and put that into Bitcoin instead. You know, you won't miss it. Right. And if Bitcoin does go to the moon, then at least you've got some. Because then now once you've got that and you know that's happening, you don't have to do anything, right? It's happening automatic. Then you can like chill for a second and then start reading up on whatever takes your interest in the crypto space.
And for those who are listening, which is everybody, I guess, that's listening, next week I have Michael Goldman, also known as Bitstein, on the show from the Satoshi Nakamoto Institute. And he's going to be talking about the Satoshi Nakamoto carnivore dinner he's hosting during BitBlock Boom. So check that out. Where can people follow you at, Chris? Where's the best place to follow you?
You'll find links to all of my resources by going to thecryptoverse.show. So I've got other websites, but I always send everyone there because all the links buttons will lead you to all of my other resources from there, social networks, online courses, everything.
Great. Well, Chris, anything you want to tell everybody before we get out of here that I might have missed?
No, I think we covered everything. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, Chris. I appreciate it again. And hopefully we don't wait 60 episodes next time to get you back.
I'll come back anytime.
Thanks, Chris.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. A big thank you to all the cousins out there that are showing their support by donating, subscribing, and leaving great reviews on iTunes. All of those things help more than you realize. Now, you can subscribe almost anywhere podcasts are available by going to CryptoCousins.com/subscribe. Call me with your comments or questions at 747-777-9471. Or you can email me at thecryptocousins@gmail.com. And I'll try to use these on future episodes. Please take a peek at the 4-Minute Crypto Show, which is produced every weekday and located at 4minutecrypto.com. It's the place to get your daily dose of crypto news, and as always, 4 minutes or less. And one last thing, please take a look at my new website, Crypto Crybaby. This website is for the true crypto fan and sells Bitcoin and crypto gear like t-shirts, caps, and so much more. Take a look at CryptoCrybaby.com today. Thanks again for listening. Love you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Cousins podcast. Please share the show with your friends. They can subscribe by going to CryptoCousins.com/subscribe. And if you want to know more about Gary, just go to GaryLeland.com. Make sure and join Gary and all the Crypto Cousins every week for a new episode of the Crypto Cousins podcast. The Crypto Cousins podcast and the information included in the podcast are not intended as investment advice. Investing in any cryptocurrency is risky, and you should never invest more than you can afford to lose. Always seek professional advice before investing in any cryptocurrency. Please understand, you are using any and all information from the Crypto Cousins at your own risk.